الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أما بعد. Today is the 28th of January 2012, which corresponds to the 5th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1433. And we continue with our Aqidah class. However, we will be beginning a new chapter. And the battery doesn't look very good here. Anywho, that chapter is titled Faslun fi tariqi ahli sunnah aw ahli sunnati al-amaliyya. A chapter on the way. Tariqa has many meanings actually. It's supposed to be a way or the manner in waikum salam, the manner in which you do something or the methodology. But in the Sufi world, it has a special definition. The tariqah, the Naqshbandi tariqah, and so on and so forth of their various shuyukh and their masters who come up with a special form of dhikr, that is not according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and then that becomes the tariqah of such and such person. But that's not what we're speaking about. Not that tariqah for sure. It's the good tariqah. So which means the way or the method or the manner or the methodology. All of them more or less can be used as an English equivalent. قوله ثم من طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة اتباع آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم باطنا وظاهرا. And it's an excellent occasion, by the way. From the way or the methodology or the method of أهل السنة والجماعة, Waikum salam, is following the traces of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, batinan, internally, wa zahiran, externally, or inwardly and outwardly. We can use both as well. Waikum salam, mashallah. I should take a day off every other few weeks, man. If every time I miss a class, you're going to have all these people next time, hey. Fantastic. We're supposed to, I don't know how good or how well we're doing so, but as adherents to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are supposed to be following the Prophet alayhi salatu salam inwardly and outwardly, internally and externally. لَمَّا فَرَغَ الْمُؤَلِّفْ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ مما يريد ذكره من طريقة أهل السنة العقدية شرع في ذكر طريقتهم العملية. Excellent. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in explaining the statement of Sheikh Rasab ibn Taymiyyah, he said, after the author, may Allah have mercy on him, concluded his discussion on the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the issues pertaining to the belief system, he went on to discuss the practical application of that. Because if one may believe and either do nothing about it or do the opposite of what one is supposed to do. Who can give us an example of someone who knew what he was supposed to do, or at least we thought he had the right aqidah, until he pulled a stunt? Yes? Walaikum salam. I wasn't actually saying yes for you, but yes. Yes, brothers, anyone with the answer, welcome, Habibi. You can always take this chair if there's... Huh? You can't think of anyone that you would think his aqidah was sound. He had the means to have sound aqidah, but he just wound up ruining everything.
This Mirza Ghulam.
Mirza Ghulam.
He used to be good. And he used to debate with the Christians, and then after that...
I'm not referring to that, man. I'm referring way before that. Have you ever heard of Iblis? Come on, you guys.
Well, he's a household name.
Huh?
He's a household name.
Iblis?
Yes.
Okay. Well, whatever you mean by that. Anyways, Iblis is someone who had information. He had the aqidah, but no application. Right? In fact, not only he just didn't do anything, he did the opposite of what he's supposed to do. Someone who is in the presence or who is near Allah, worshipping Him among the angels, among the malaika, closest to Allah in the heavens, not on earth, and with the privileges which he was given, He obviously knew, he believed in angels, he believed in messengers, he didn't have issues in this regard. But because he did not apply the aqidah which he had, he wound up accusing Allah of giving him an erroneous command. That's why the ulama say that it seems like the more I do this, the worse it gets. That's why the ulama said that he became a kafir. Not because he disobeyed Allah, because Adam disobeyed Allah. Adam and Iblis disobeyed Allah. One single command, one single disobedience, one's repentance was accepted and he became a prophet afterwards and khalas. And one was doomed eternally. It was not because of the sin, but it was because of the ideology behind the sin. Adam did it feeling guilty, realizing he made a mistake. Iblis did it saying, what? How am I going to prostrate to this guy? I'm made out of fire. He's made out of clay. I am better than him. In other words, he's telling Allah, how could you ask me to do something which is not befitting my majesty? Iblis speaking about himself. And so he became belittled and degraded and undermined until the end of time. Because of his accusation of Allah, giving him the wrong command. He didn't disobey. So, oh, Allah, forgive me for not prostrating. You told me what is correct. I failed because of my shortcomings. No, he objected. And that objection made him who he is. And so this is why it is important to understand the practicality or the practical application, of the aqidah. It is not sufficient just to know it. قوله, the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, اتباعُ الآثار لا اتباعٌ إلا بعلم. Following the traces, he said there's no following unless via knowledge. You must follow per knowledge. Because if you follow without knowledge, then you will fall into innovations. Just like what the brother was speaking about right now after the salah. Timely reminder about the mawlid. That's a form of people trying to follow, trying, with no knowledge. Because they don't understand that this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Of course, we're not going to make this now the discussion of the dars. And if anyone is interested in getting some elaboration on the whole mawlid problem, then you can refer to the lecture on YouTube titled, Can I Celebrate This? And in the lecture, Can I Celebrate This? There's a segment dedicated to al-mawlid al-nabawi with the refutation against those who claim that it is you should do it. And they say that those who don't do it don't really love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's what they say concerning the Wahhabis. إِذَن فَهُمْ حَرِيصُونَ عَلَى طَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah understand that there's no following, there's no true following, that is, unless there's knowledge. Subsequently, they're keen on seeking knowledge. They're keen on acquiring knowledge. They make the necessary effort to learn. The issue of the deen is not trivial. The matters of the deen are not trivial. It's not something that you learn in school from, you know, in elementary and then khalas. You don't need them for the rest of your life. It requires a continuous effort. And nowadays, yani, we are very much not excused because of the modern technology and the facilitation. Yani, ikhwan, you can have Islamic applications on your phones. So even if you're waiting in a clinic or somewhere, you can open it up and read something. You can listen to MP3 files while driving. We're waiting for people, listening to lectures of the scholars and the ulama. Even if you're improving your Arabic, listen to ulama who speak Arabic. And try to pick on what they're saying as much as you can. Pick up what they're saying, afwan. And so, you know, it has become very easy. So if we're still not doing that, I mean, if you drive your car a good 45 minutes and you're just sitting in your car doing nothing, that's pretty bad in that sense. Because some people, if you're remembering Allah, zakallah khair. But some people, the only thing they're doing is cursing people out. I told you, you know, that's the only thing that they do in the car. When they do speak, they're cursing the people around them who don't know how to drive. Yeah, sure, and we know that they don't know how to drive. But that's not going to get us far. So either you're remembering Allah, or you're revising what you've memorized of the Quran, or you're listening to a lecture. Or the Idaat al-Quran Kareem. The idea is, that is a very, very convenient time for you to learn. So, yani, I hope this will be a means of encouragement. Seriously, utilize, don't listen to music, don't listen to something that will mislead you from the path of Allah. Listen to something halal, benefit. You may listen to a lecture that will change your life. You may learn something that will you will keep until the end of your life. Some part of knowledge which you will benefit from and teach your wife and children. You don't know where goodness is. You don't know. So that's why we try to exert and exhaust all effort so we can, inshallah, acquire some of that good knowledge. لِيَعْرِفُوا أَثَارَ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ ثُمَّ يَتَبِعُوهَا. So they seek knowledge in order to find out the way and the traces of the Prophet ﷺ so that they may follow it. فَهُمْ يَتَّبِعُونَ آثَارَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ وَالْعِبَادَةِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ وَالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. They follow the way or the traces of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ in عَقِيدَةِ. Who can give us an example in regards to us following the Prophet ﷺ in Aqidah? But you need a court and evidence for it.
What about the Sahaba?
We're talking about us now.
Okay. Us.
How can you say, I know that the Aqidah of the Prophet ﷺ was such, because the hadith says he did such, and I believe it because that's what I learned from the Prophet ﷺ based on the hadith. And the issue is that of Aqidah.
Hadith Jibreel. And
then
the Prophet
ﷺ
is coming and asking for the Prophet ﷺ.
Fine.
And then he questioned back and the Prophet ﷺ said the truth.
Fine. So you mean the pillars of Islam, the pillars of Iman, the pillars of Ihsan,
yeah,
and the Alamatul Sa'a. Beautiful. How about something in regards to the names and attributes of Allah? Which is what this whole book is about. I'm sleepy. Are you guys sleepy? You can't think of a single hadith where we learn some aqidah aspect pertaining to Allah's names and attributes from the Prophet ﷺ after we've discussed a million things already? The battery is already suffering. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. He told the slave girl, Ain Allah? Where's Allah? And so she pointed up towards the heavens and she said, Fissama, up in the state of transcendence. Allah is above. And he acknowledged and approved that and he said she was a believer. You learned that aqidah, so now you can ask, where's Allah? First you can ask, where's Allah? Then you can believe what the Prophet ﷺ approved when that girl gave him an answer, which is the fact that Allah is fi sama'i, in the state of being above the creation. And then we spoke about khutbat al-wada', so hajjat al-wada', the farewell pilgrimage, and after he conveyed, he said, ala hal ballaght, did I not convey? They said, yes, qala Allahumma shahad. Oh Allah, bear witness that they're saying, I conveyed the message. Did we not learn that as well? Does he not say in sujood, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la? All of these are evidences of aqidah. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, glory be to Allah, how perfect is Allah, the Most High. So we believe Allah is the Most High because the Messenger of Allah taught us in his aqidah, in the aqidah, that Allah was above, the Most High. See what I mean? طيب. وَالْعِبَادَةِ. What does ibadah mean? That's a nice additional definition, mister. That's Ihsan. We all know Brother Ihsan. But we're not speaking about him now. Ibadah, I said. You said worship, but that's incomplete. Nobody gave me the full...
Worshipping Allah the way He wants. The way He deserves. To be obedient to Allah, to be sincere to Allah, and to be faithful to Allah.
Tayyib, give me a comprehensive word that summarizes that.
To be the slave of Allah.
Yes. Worship is servitude and, ibadah, is servitude and worship. Because worship sometimes is this a right. Like salah, that's worship. Siyam, that's worship. Servitude is, you may be at a time when you're not doing an act of worship, but you're still a slave of Allah. You're still abd.
But
You still, you know, adhere to the natural law which Allah created. You still follow because there are things which may do not are not categorized as ibadah per se, meaning the worship which is understood in English as people going to church on Sunday. That's their worship. So we're not like that, where our worship is restricted to physical locations. No, you worship Allah as in you enslave yourself to Allah around the clock. Anywhere, anytime, you know, in any situation. So it's actually more than that. Type, who can give us an example of ibadah? Following the Prophet alayhi salam in ibadah. With the dalil.
Salam.
Aywa.
Pray as I
have to correct English now, yes?
Pray as you saw me pray.
There you go. That's a nice one. You have two options, by the way. You can use the past simple or the present perfect. You can say, have seen me, or as you saw me pray. But did we see him pray?
No.
So, how is that? The Sahaba saw him pray? Okay, and they convey that to us. No? They conveyed it to us, we followed them. Yeah, am I that scary, man? What's going on here? I'm a nice guy, guys. Never hurt anyone as far as I know. And so don't be worried. Don't give me wrong answers. So what? Did they convey it to us or did we figure?
Yes, they did.
By the Tabi'in and Khulafa Rashidin, they also carried the hadith and spreading word to people.
Did anyone write it down?
Bukhari.
Sahih. So now, can we say that the Sahaba saw the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, and they were so particular in following him that they were very accurate in what they actually conveyed to us? That's why if you actually read the traditions in regards to the description of Salah, you'll be shocked at the things that they will point out. They were able to tell you, they would know that he would be moving his mouth by the movement of his beard. They will be behind him and they will observe his beard moving because it was thick. And because of the movement of the beard, they knew that he was reciting, he was moving his lips, alayhi salatu salam. They described the way he sat and where his toes, in which direction they were facing. And they described the jalsa and the istiraha, that little rest which people do before getting up from sujood. They described the movement of the finger. They described what he recited. Everything has been conveyed. So even though, first he was speaking to the Sahaba. He said to them, pray as you have seen me pray, speaking to them. And then he said another narration, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدِ الْغَائِبِ. Let the one who's present convey this information to one who's absent. So that information came to us. So it is as if we have seen him, alayhi salatu wasalam. As if we have seen his salah, even though we actually have not. طيب, good. That was an excellent example. والأخلاق. What does akhlaq mean?
Character, manners.
Okay. Who can give us an example from the hadith? Wow. One at a time. Slow down, guys. MashaAllah, it seems that we're following a lot of that. One hadith about akhlaq. Then give me one, ya Sheikh. Plenty, Allah, I think.
The patient of the Prophet, like how... When the Prophet when he was sitting, the Bedouin came up and urinated inside the masjid. I was patient about
it. Good. Nice. Okay. The way?
The way
he was patient. Fair enough. Anything else?
About the akhlaq of Prophet, peace be upon him. Once a person asked Aisha Sandika Razila Ta'ala Anha. So she replied that Kana Khuluku Quran.
Mm-hmm.
He was model of Quran.
Naam. Ahsant. Very good. Anything else? طيب, again, but we want practical examples. He said someone came to the masjid, a Bedouin misbehaving, he dealt with him with patience. How about some other things? Kindness, consideration, gentleness, love, affection, which he displayed to a Sahaba.
How did he treat Abdullah bin Mas'ud?
And when?
He had a question, what he did and why he did.
It wasn't Abdullah Masood, it was Anas ibn Malik. Naam, it was Anas. Ahsant. Yeah, how many of us can do that? He said, I served the Prophet ﷺ 10 years. He never told me about something which I did, why did you do it? And he never told me about something which I didn't do, why didn't you do it? And all day we're telling people, why did you do this and why didn't you do that, right? It's like we're doing exactly the opposite. Of course, the situation may have been a little different. At times, if you're a teacher, I mean, if you want to apply this as a teacher, they're going to fire you the next day. Okay? Because if everybody didn't do the homework and you don't ask, I'm not going to ask them why they didn't do their homework, it doesn't work. You have to understand the context of the hadith as well. Something, if as a father, raising children, you have to inquire and everything. But we go overboard. We go overboard. Tayyib, that was a good example. Of course, the way he dealt with his wives when one of them came with some, one of them sent food while he was sitting with the other one, and so she, Aisha became jealous and she snapped the dish out of the maid's hand and it fell and it broke, and he said, "Gharat ummukum," your mother became jealous. You know, one of his wives broke the dish that another one sent while he's in her presence. So it's like, what is this capital offense? How do you send food while he's in my house, you know? So she became upset and she hit the servant, and the servant dropped the dish, and the dish broke. Now, one of us would have, khalas, that would have been the end of it. What is wrong with you? What is your problem? I told her to make this food, it'll be a big deal. He said, your mother became jealous. Okay, take it easy, guys. He understood she became jealous, and he went and said, bring another plate. He said, this plate is for the one you broke. Okay, so give him back the plate which you broke. End of story. Now, even if you don't have two wives, we don't even do this. Even if there wasn't a second wife and it wasn't an issue of jealousy, we don't do this. We get mad and we make a big, you know, fuss and we throw a fit. That's what we do. So, you know, this is how you can tell where we are in regards to the akhlaq. Even though, and amazingly, he said, the Prophet ﷺ, that a person will reach through his good character what the one who fasts all day and prays all night would reach. Yani, someone could fast every day, all day, and pray every night, all night, and one who does not do any of that, but he's just a nice guy, he will be able to acquire the goodness of the one who prays all day and all night and fasts all day. So Allah made it. That's why the khuluq, the good khuluq is a short. He said, the closest people to me in Jannah, the closest people to the Prophet ﷺ will be the ones with the best character. So that's something we need to work on, right? If you're not doing that good in your nawafil and you don't pray, you know, often nawafil or qiyamul layl or voluntary fast, let's be nice. Now, of course, being nice does not mean that you don't become mean at times if the situation requires it. Okay, you can be passive sometimes. Being passive is not always being nice. But, you know, you the best of your ability, you try to stay on the nice side. And sometimes you have to sometimes be a little rough with those who deserve roughness. Okay? But generally speaking, we should try to be as sweet as we can. وَالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And da'wah. What is da'wah?
Inviting people to the path of Islam.
Okay, inviting, propagation, the spreading of Islam. Who can give us an example in following the Prophet ﷺ in da'wah?
Abu Bakr
radiallahu anhu.
Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. I mean, when he took shahada, the next day he gave da'wah to some sahaba and declared Islam.
Tayyib, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Okay.
We're talking about a hadith about how the Prophet ﷺ dealt in a da'wah situation, which we can learn and apply. The one you gave applies both ways, by the way. It applies to patients and it applies how to give da'wah to a Bedouin. Sahih? Someone who's rough.
Like Islam to invade the people with the wisdom.
Okay. There you go. What does wisdom mean?
Polite way or what? According to Quran
Sunnah. That's wisdom? طيب. طب the Quran says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. So you're going to bring all these Christians lectures and say, okay, all of you disbelievers, bunch of kuffar, I don't worship what you worship. You don't worship what I worship. You have your religion, I have mine. Peace. And you leave.
This is not wisdom. No.
Well, you said Quran and Sunnah. This is the Quran, yaqi. The Quran, kulli al-kafirun addi, says, I don't believe what you worship. You don't worship what I worship. At the end, you have your religion, I have mine. And you have to leave afterwards. Khalas.
That is finally we are able to
come in,
then we can
say this thing. Wallah? Mashallah, the new Mufti of the Mamlaka Jamaat al-Khair. If we cannot find Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, Fadil al-Sheikh Ibrahim. Wisdom, what? Nobody knows what wisdom is right now?
Is it application of everything?
Okay. How about putting things where they belong?
Opposite of zulm, actually.
Whoa! Whoa!
Technically,
are you guys today, man? I'm telling you, we should cancel this class. Everybody go home, take a nice shower. You know, we'll meet. You know, in a couple of weeks when everybody's mind is back on point. What does dhulm, adil and dhulm? Maybe these are antonyms, but wisdom and dhulm are not. They usually are not. I mean, of course, in a sense, yes, yeah. I know. If you really go in deep, you can pull something. I know, but we're looking for simplified stuff. Wisdom is putting things, saying the right thing to the right person at the right time. The right thing, that's it.
The best of things.
Yeah, because sometimes, if not just Quran and Sunnah, because sometimes the right thing is not to quote this particular ayah in the Quran, but to quote that other one. Or it's not okay to quote that hadith, but to quote that other one. So wisdom is actually how you're going to quote according to the situation. How are you going to deal with the situation? You may not even quote Quran and Sunnah. Hikmah may be that you make a move in da'wah without even opening your mouth. But that's still wisdom. So who can give us an evidence from the Quran that you need to have wisdom in da'wah?
Surah Nahal verse 20.
Mr. Zakir Naik, yes sir.
Udu ila sabila rabbika bil hikmati wal mawizati hasana.
وكمل الآية. Continue.
وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن.
أحسنت. جزاك الله خير. Call unto the way of your Lord with حكمة. So it's a command from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Don't be upset, huh? Anyways. So these were examples of عقيدة. عبادة, of course, we can give more, but we're not going to spend the whole class doing this. والأخلاق والدعوة إلى الله تعالى. يدعون عباد الله إلى شريعة الله في كل مناسبة. Wonderful. The way the people of the who follow the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the practical application, look at this. They invite the slaves of Allah to the legislation of Allah in every occasion. Anytime they're given a chance to give da'wah, they do so. And sometimes not speaking is a form of da'wah. For example, let's give you a practical example of what I'm talking about. Because if you're not out there in the field, you know, people don't understand. Unless you are involved in da'wah, there are some things which will remain to be theoretical until you're there. And once you're there, you will see that there's a huge, vast difference between theory and application. So this event which I told you about with these Koreans, okay? So we have this huge crowd of people, Egyptians, Saudis, Middle Easterns, all kinds of people. And these four or five Koreans. They brought him into this big istiraha, and they want me to give them da'wah. And we get all these people. And so, they didn't really calculate things very well. They said, okay, this big sheikh, why don't you give a little talk? Walaykum salam, marhaban, welcome back, akhi. Kif halak? He said, let the sheikh give a big talk. And then you translate. I said, fine. Let him talk about something, and I will translate. He started speaking about jihad, and fighting fi sabilillah, and he beat your children if they don't pray at the age of 10. All kinds of things which if I were to translate to these non-Muslims, they're just not going to get it. It's beyond their ability. So here we have it, you know, said, okay, this is not good. So instead of giving, even I said, you know what, I'm going to take a broad point and expound and go off the topic. Instead of giving me the mic, they said, okay, each one introduce yourself. There's a room of 80 to 100 people. Everybody grabbed the mic, and especially the old men. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam, Ibn Muhammad, ana marra, mabsoot. He gave us a 10-minute lecture. I'm happy I'm here. And where's the food? Why haven't you brought the food? And wallah, these gatherings remind me of back in the day. And everybody's sitting there waiting, man, this mic is going to go all the way around these people until it comes to me again. And these Koreans have no idea what's going on. All these people speaking Arabic. And so finally, it was just almost Maghrib, the mic came around, I'm trying to fix all these problems now. Had to apologize to the guys and say, listen, sorry, you know, the people are just, you know, being themselves and try to fix the situation. And khalas, I gave a little talk to kind of make him smile. I cracked a few jokes to make him feel comfortable and that they belong in the whole thing. And khalas. Now afterwards, they say, come, we want you to sit with them. Come, we want you to sit with them. No. I said, brother, it doesn't work this way. You know, they're sitting there having dinner. They moved, one of them made him go, and they sit in his place, sit between them. It is not wise. This is not how you give da'wah. You don't push on people, push on. This is the da'i, keep talking to the dog. They're going to say, man, get this guy out of my face. And you don't want to be in a situation where the one you're inviting is like, just leave me alone. I'm meeting you for the first time. Can I eat my dinner? So the people get excited. They don't have wisdom in da'wah. And so they haven't really tried it. They just know these are kuffar. This is the one who's supposed to bring him to Islam. You go and get them. You know, it's like I'm spearfishing. And this is my target. So, I have to tell them, guys, relax. Okay? Let it come naturally. If it comes naturally, I will start the topic again. But I'm not going to go there and push myself upon these people. Let it be that today we got to know each other. Arrange another event next time. So when I see them, hey guys, how's it going? Then we can have a more... let it come naturally. So sometimes this is, I'm not saying I'm wise, but I'm telling you, wisdom entails sometimes that you back off. And you don't push the people away, because next time they see you, they will say, oh, this guy again, and they will get in the car and go. And so that's really not nice for me, nor is it nice for them, nor is it nice for you. You don't want to be felt, you don't want the people to feel this way about you. Maybe you feel this way about me already. Ala kulli hal. نعم وكلما اقتضت الحكمة أن يدعو إلى الله دعوا إلى الله. So every time wisdom, notice the statements of the Shaykh, very wise. Every time wisdom entails or allows calling to Allah, they call to Allah. So he made it according to wisdom, which is just what I told you right now. ولكنهم لا يخبطون خبط عشواء. يعني how do I translate this? You know خبط عشواء, what it means? Okay. Like, let's say someone is blindfolded, okay? They put something around his eyes, he can't see, in a very dark place, and they told him that there are, snakes, and you can't see, there are snakes. And all of a sudden, he felt something, you know, down his feet. What is going to happen to this person? He's going to freak out and start running like a maniac. Gonna crash into things. He may crash into the wall, crash into a bookshelf. He will go berserk, because he feels he's fearing something he can't see. This is khabt ashwa. The people who give da'wah, he's saying they're not out there running around without any guidance, without any light which they follow. They're not just trying to throw things out there, as some may do. وَإِنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. Rather, they invite with wisdom. يتبعون آثار الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في الأخلاق الحميدة في معاملة الناس باللطف واللين. They follow the traces of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in regards to his praiseworthy traits and morals, and in the way they treat people with kindness and gentleness. Specifically, when it comes to a new Muslim or a non-Muslim, a non-Muslim who's not fighting you, who's not, you know, disrespecting the deen or the Prophet alayhi salam, these ones you have to be as gentle as you can with them when you are giving them da'wah. وَتَنْزِيلُ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مَنْزِلَتَهُ. And that you place each person in the position which he should be at. يعني you categorize people and you treat them accordingly. You don't treat people the same. So there is a distinction in the way you... Like the leader of a tribe is not like the peasant. And even the Prophet ﷺ did not treat them equally. He actually made certain distinction in treatment to particular individuals that were leader among the tribes. Like when Abu Sufyan embraced Islam, he gave him that status he had before. He said, anyone who goes to his home, he is protected. he maintained some of those who came into Islam who had this kind of, you know, prestige among their people. He allowed them to bring it and he gave them a treatment accordingly, unless they themselves gave it up. So this is okay, that you, if you get an ambassador, you know, like let's say you get an ambassador of some country coming to visit the Dawah Center, you will have a special arrangement for him. You will bring some sweets and some cake, and you may have it because the person is of high status. If you're going to treat him like he's a piece of, you know, trash, this is not going to appeal to him. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas a worker who's not used to all this, he's used to people treating him normally, your normal treatment will not affect him. He's used to it. But someone who's used to being welcome with red carpet, and you want to treat him all, he's a regular kafir, that's actually not wise. Don't misunderstand. You understand what I'm saying? Because some people think that this is a why. Because he's American or because, you know, he's Filipino. No, it's not about American-Filipino. It's about the status. The president of the Philippines is not like the farmer in America. When that one comes, you will treat him like a farmer. And when that one comes, you'll treat him like a president. Forget about the nationality. But you have to make that distinction between the people and treat them accordingly. Without going overboard, of course. And you have to remain within the limits of the sunnah. وَيَتَّبِعُونَهُ أَيْضًا فِي أَخْلَاقِهِ مَعَ أَهْلِهِ They also follow the Prophet ﷺ in his character with his wives and his family. This is where we failed dramatically and drastically. فَتَجِدُهُمْ يَحْرِصُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونُوا أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ لِأَهْلِهِمْ You find that they're keen on being the best people to their families. Those who truly follow the Prophet ﷺ, they try to be the best people to their families. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول خيركم خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said The best of you are the best are those who treat their family the best and I treat my family the best عليه الصلاة والسلام He is telling us with the favor of Allah وأما بنعمة ربك فحدد This is the favor of Allah upon him and we are supposed to follow him. He's telling us that I am actually the best in treating my family, so follow my way and be the best in treating yours. وَنَحْنُ لَا نَسْتَطِيعُ أَن نَحْصُرَ آثَارَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ We, however, are unable to enumerate. نَحْصُر is like to be able to count with an exact figure. We cannot enumerate the traces of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولكن نقول على سبيل الإجمال. However, we say in a general sense, في العقيدة والعبادة والخلق والدعوة. We say in generally in the terms of in regards to عقيدة, in regards to which is creed or said or belief, عبادة servitude and worship, خلق which is character and traits and behavior and conduct. والدعوة propagation and invitation to Islam. في العبادة لا يتشددون ولا يتهاونون ويتبعون ما هو أفضل. In regards to ibadah, they are neither extreme nor are they lenient. Rather, they follow that which is best. وربما يشتغلون عن العبادة بمعاملة الخلق للمصلحة. And perhaps they will preoccupy themselves with issues pertaining to good character over ibadah. كما كان الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يأتيه الوفود يشغلونه عن الصلاة فيقضيها فيما بعد. Like at times, different
delegations
would come to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and he will be busy welcoming them so that he will actually be distracted from the salah and then he will pray when he's given the chance as means of giving these people who have arrived a particular right and a particular respect as guests who are coming to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So, you know, that ibadah which is personal to him, he preferred to do things which are more related to his behavior and character. That is a more effective way of da'wah. So, you know, that's why they say there's no harm whatsoever if you wind up, for example, you're invited to give a talk or you have something to do where you have a time limit, you can do your nafila later. You can postpone your nafila. What is important now is what benefits the people. You prioritize in terms of what benefits the people. The ibadah between you and Allah, you can make it up later. And even if you don't make it up, that ibadah which involves benefiting people is superior than the one which benefits you alone. That's a given already. We discussed this a couple of classes ago if you were here.
When it comes to nafila, right?
Huh?
Nafila.
Yes. Yes. Not fard. not fard, of course. نعم. قوله ظاهرا وباطنا. شيخ الإسلام said ظاهرا from ظهر and ظهر, right? And ظهور, which is that which is on top, that which appears, that which is the back, ظهر, the back. ظاهرا, then outwardly, because it's يظهر, you can see it, it's apparent, it's visible. وباطنا, which is what is beneath, or what is hidden, what is concealed, what is inward, inwardly. الظهور والبطون أمر نسبي. The Shaykh said, the matter of being apparent or hidden or outwardly and inwardly is something that is relative. Relative meaning to the situation. ظاهراً فيما يظهر للناس وباطناً فيما يسرونه بأنفسهم. ظاهراً meaning outwardly in terms of what appears before the people and inwardly in terms of what is secret to the person himself. ظاهراً في الأعمال الظاهرة. Also ظاهراً in terms of the deeds which are done publicly. وَبَاطِنًا فِي أَعْمَالِ الْقُلُوبِ and inwardly in regards to the deeds which are done in the heart. Like the fear of Allah, the love of Allah, and so on and so forth. The other ظاهرة is salah in front of the people, jama'ah, jumu'ah, whatever. فَمَثَلًا, for example, التوكل. Let's sharpen our da'wah terminology skills. توكل. What does it mean?
Reliance.
Okay. Reliance. Any other synonym?
Trust. Trusting Allah.
Okay.
Depend on Allah.
Depend. Good. So usually they use depending on Allah and relying on Allah or reliance upon Allah. Excellent. Khawf.
Fear.
طب خشية.
Is it consciousness or consciousness?
يعني, well, that's the problem in English. Sometimes the Arabic will have more an expanded vocabulary in some areas. So the scholars make a distinction between khawf and khashya, even though sometimes they are used interchangeably. But khashya is usually the fear which is based on knowledge. Whereas khawf could be because of that, or it could be for other reasons. Like, takhaf min al-asad, you fear a lion. You know, because it's something which, you know, it's not necessarily because of knowledge. But khashya has to do with knowledge, you know, based spirituality. Wallahu alam, this is some of the distinctions that the scholars make. There's more to it, however. But sometimes they're used afwan interchangeably, sometimes. Wal raja, hope. Wal inaba,
return back.
Yes, to return. Yanub. أنيبوا وأنيبوا إلى ربكم صحيح من ينيب صحيح. So the منيب is one who returns, one who returns. إنابة محبة
love.
That's the only thing you guys are good at, huh? وما أشبه ذلك and things of this sort. هذه من أعمال القلوب. These are all deeds of the heart, actions of the heart. يقومون به على الوجه المطلوب. These people who follow the Prophet ﷺ strictly, they fulfill them and they establish them in the manner which is expected, in the manner which is demanded. والصلاة, the صلاه فيها القيام والقعود والركوع والسجود والصدقة والحج والصيام. Salah has qiyam in it, standing, qu'ud, sitting, ruku', bowing, sujood, prostrating, wa sadaqa, charity, wal hajj wa siyam, all these other acts of worship. وَهَذِي مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الْجَوَارِحِ فَهِيَ ظَاهِرَةٌ. These are the deeds of the limbs, and they are external, they are outwardly. Good. ثُمَّ أَعْلَمْ أَنَّ أَثَارَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ تَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامٍ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ. Then know that the traces or the evidences that are referred back to the Prophet ﷺ, or the traditions actually, are divided into three categories or more. Three or more. Why do you think he said or more? Why would he say three or more? Shouldn't it just be divided into three? How can it be or more?
Known three or known four.
Yes? Think about it, guys. I don't know either. But I want you to think. Let's think. Why would a sheikh say, usually say, Tawheed is three categories. Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, Asma'an Sifat. طيب. We're used to this kind of conclusive division. Now he's saying it's divided into three or more. Why would he say or more?
Subcategories.
Okay.
For better explanation. If you categorize it more, then we can understand better.
Okay. Could it be that the scholars have differed? According to some, it's three. According to others, it's more. So that would be probably it. The fact that under one category, some scholars made more categories, or they said, some alim will say, all of these are under this category. Some will say, no, actually this one is independent on its own. So because of that, they may be more. Now, does that apply all the time in the Quran? Allah said, فَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينٍ. So Allah sent Yunus to 100,000 أو يزيدون, to 100,000 or more. But Allah is the one who's telling us that. Does Allah not know the number of people to whom He sent Yunus? He doesn't know? Okay. So what? Why 100,000 أو 100,000 أو يزيدون?
Because historians may differ.
Historians may differ. That's a good one. No, the scholars say here, أو sometimes means wow.
And.
Meaning we send them to 100,000 and more. Yani 100 plus. 100,000 plus. So that's why I have to refer back to the statements of the ulama in terms of how they understand the conjunction and here. Or. It's supposed to be or. Aw means or. But here means and. So that's why it was more than 100,000. It's not like Allah is doubting how many He sent into. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows already. Anyways, that's besides the topic. Let's see what the Shaykh said. أولاً ما فعله على سبيل التعبد. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did in a manner of worshipping Allah or enslaving himself before Allah. فَهَذَا لَا شَكَّ أَنَّنَا مَأْمُورُونَ بِاتِّبَاعِهِ. This, there's no doubt that we are commanded to follow him. صحيح? Anything which he did as means of worshipping Allah and enslaving himself to Allah, isn't it something that is binding on us to follow? Or optional?
Binding.
Give me a dalil. And don't read it from the book if you have the book. Give me a dalil that you have to follow him.
And he is the best example.
Wallah. That's not a dalil, man. That's an English sentence. What I mean by dalil, FYI, is a hadith or an ayah from the Quran. Hey. Okay, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul.
There's another ayah where Allah says, if you love me, then follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. طيب.
Allah will love you.
قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Imran, ayah 31. I'm not Zakir Naik. But that's the only one I know. Or one of the few actually. طب, how about the one that the Shaykh quoted, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. طيب. فَكُلُّ you in the Messenger of Allah, you have the most excellent example. فكل شيء لا يظهر فيه أنه فعله تأثرا بعادة أو بمقتضى جبلة وفطرة أو حصل اتفاقا فإنه على سبيل التعبد ونحن مأمرون به. Very important definition, guys, because this is where we will deal, we'll fall into the issue of the tupi or whatever that thing is called, the kufi and the taqiyya, and the issue of your hair, growing your hair long, like some of the, shabab, you see him from the back, you think he's a woman, and then you look at him and it's a man. And he says, the Messenger of Allah had long hair. and he failed to imitate him in everything except the hair. And the hair doesn't even look like that of the Messenger of Allah. So these issues of hair, dress code, the sandals he wore, where do they go? So that's why it's important to understand what is about to come. Mashi, for now, the Shaykh said, so anything which does not appear, which appears that he had done so out of ibadah, as means of getting closer to Allah, not because he was influenced by some tradition among the Arabs, rahmukallah, nor because of something which was natural in him, nor because of fitrah, natural disposition, or something which happened by coincidence, in this sense, a decree of Allah. But we know it's ibadah, then we are commanded to follow him. Because we will see that there are some things which were according to the culture, and there are some things which are according to the situation, and they were not necessarily things which he did as means of worshipping Allah or getting closer to him. Ala kulli hal, I will leave you excited inshallah for the rest of the material in regards to that, and so we can understand this distinction, and maybe we'll have an answer for some of these issues that the people have in the future. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. A few announcements before you hit the road. Barakallahu feekum. But I should.